there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. We are right in the middle of Hispanic Heritage Month, which is a perfect time to share this conversation with Duke University sophomore Romy, who created a program called Mi Sendero as a high school student. Mi Sendero is a student-led initiative that brings together native Spanish-speaking students learning English and English-speaking students who are studying Spanish, building bridges between these two groups. This important work cultivates friendships, mutual respect and understanding, and improves language fluency. Welcome back, everybody. I am super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Romy. She's going to tell us all about her project. Hey, Romy, how are you?
Hi, I'm so happy to be on today.
Thank you so much for being here. So let's start at the beginning. Tell us more about yourself, how old you are, where you go to school, where you're from, all of that good stuff. And then tell us everything about your project. Start from the very beginning.
Yeah, so I'm actually right now in Durham, North Carolina, where I go to college at Duke University. I'm currently a freshman and I'm 19, but I'm originally from Santa Barbara, California, which is where I grew up and spent most of my time. And then as far as the beginnings of my project and my interest in this kind of work, my family is from Mexico and Cuba, so I grew up speaking Spanish at home. And when I got to high school, I became friends with a lot of the students who were in the English learning program, which meant they were recent immigrants from countries all over Latin America. And I had this amazing opportunity to meet with them and communicate with them because I spoke their language. But it made me sad that a lot of other kids at my school didn't know they existed, didn't know we had so many immigrants, and were missing out on the opportunity to connect with them. And those students were also missing out on the opportunity to connect with English speakers at school to, you know, improve their language skills also. And so that's what originally gave me the idea to start Mi Sendero, which means my path in Spanish. And basically what the organization does is it connects English learners who are trying to integrate into school with students who are English speakers and taking Spanish classes and would really, you know, benefit from the opportunity to speak with native speakers because that's not something they get in their classes. And through this organization, English learners become leaders and they get community service hours as Spanish tutors to kids taking Spanish classes. So overall, it's really a win-win for both groups. And we also did a lot of fun cultural events. It's still running. It's running in a couple schools across California. And it's just been a really good way to bridge divides in this community and to make the school overall a lot stronger.
Sure. So just explain something to me, though. Isn't it sort of incumbent on the school system to provide ESL teachers and stuff? So how is it that you guys are filling this gap? Is it that there's just not enough instructors or folks who are, or is this outside of the classroom sort of? So it's to give kids more of, you know, more practice as opposed to just inside the classroom?
So here's the way it works is that students, when they're designated as English learners, they get put into separate classes and they don't interact with anyone else at the school, which I think is really detrimental to their long-term success and integration. And also nobody else at the school knows that they exist. So it actually prevents both of these groups from learning the languages they're trying to learn. Because if you're not interacting with anyone who speaks English, or if you're trying to learn Spanish and you're not interacting with native Spanish speakers, it's really hurting them. So each of these groups do have teachers, but they are missing out on the benefit from interacting with each other. And this is more peer-to-peer tutoring. And also, I'd want to add that a lot of English learners, to them, they feel isolated, but they also are always on the receiving end of support. They always feel like they're the ones there to get help. But this organization basically flips that dynamic. So now they're the ones, you know, being the leaders at their school, and they gain a lot of respect as a result. So I think it helps them boost their confidence. And a lot of the students we've worked with have said that because they were tutors in this organization and leaders and got to use all of their talents, even if they're not directly tutors, they make art for the organization, graphic design, video editing, all sorts of things. Like, it has now put them on a whole different path. And a lot of them now are going to college and pursuing degrees that they normally would not have.
Right. Of course. So explain to us a little bit more. How do you recruit your volunteers? How do you, you know, get access to the kids in the schools? Like, how does it all kind of work? And when did you start doing this? How long ago?
Yeah. So it's been 3 or 4 years. I started it as a sophomore in high school, but then COVID happened. So it's kind of, the timeline does get a little bit fuzzy, but It really got going, I would say, 3 years ago when people were back in person in school. And it was especially important to do this after COVID, after we had all been isolated and nobody was making those connections anyways. And it really hurt, especially the English learners who, you know, for them, high school is the only opportunity to learn English sometimes because they come home and then they just speak Spanish. So it was especially important then. I do want to touch on what you said about peer-to-peer, though. So one of the ways we get a lot of students interested and why this has become successful at the schools it's been implemented in is because it's a really fun program. It's not necessarily I'm going there to do this extra hours in the classroom. That's not what it feels like. Every one of our lessons is very conversation-based, very fun, you know, culturally relevant. We try to introduce so many different aspects that you wouldn't get in a classroom. And that's the whole point of it, just kind of colloquial things. But as far as how we recruit, so I started it as a chapter in my high school. We enroll as a school club and we work with the English learning, like bilingual English teacher for the English learner students. And then we also work with Spanish teachers to get them to advertise it to their students and to send some kids over who may need extra help. But definitely working with teachers and school administration has made all of the difference. Every school administration has been super supportive. And even at a few schools, they've adopted it as a class. So it's now a joint class between English learners and kids in Spanish classes. So it's not even just a club run by students anymore, even though it's all student led, which is really important to the organization, is that the students are in charge of their own learning. But it's now like, that's how we've been able to become successful, is that it's been adopted as part of the curriculum.
That's amazing. And it just goes to show you, like, what a wonderful idea. So all the adults are like, well, that's a great idea. Why don't we do that?
Yeah. And they've been very supportive. I want to emphasize, we would not be where we are today having impacted this many students if adults hadn't been there just supporting us with, you know, mentorship, with helping getting students involved, with even just the grant funding, because we've had the opportunity to apply to so many grants, but they've also provided mentorship on our organization. So everything the adults did was made all the difference also.
Right. No, absolutely. I talk about this as well. Like, it's one thing to have a fantastic idea. If you don't have a mentor who's done it before, who's in a leadership position, who's in a position of authority to allow you to do the project, right? You're not going to be able to do it. And you're going to learn from people who have gone down this path before. So how many schools, how many kids have you impacted? Do you have any numbers like that?
Yeah, I do. So we in California, we were in all of the high schools in Santa Barbara County, which is 3, and then a few of the surrounding areas, so for a total of 6. And then to date, it's been over 1,000 students impacted over the course of a few years. It has, yeah, I do want to get into the challenges, though, as somebody who...
Please, that was going to be my next question, yeah.
Of course, no, it's been a big question because I'm a college student now. I'm removed from high school. A lot of the ways it was starting before was just kids I knew, and I would just reach out to them at different schools, and they were my friends. But now, since I don't know high schoolers, they're the biggest challenge we've faced is how do we make this sustainable? You know, because we have amazing leaders, but they graduate every year. And so I mentioned earlier making it a curriculum at the school, but to address this challenge, what I've done since I got to college is I'm currently working with my university on making it a service learning program so that college students are now mentors to the high school students. And I'm hoping that it can be adopted at a higher level, even maybe universities working with the local areas. in order for it to be more permanent. And because if it's backed by the university, even after I graduate, it'll still continue.
Absolutely. And I think that that's true at your high school as well. Like, you'll have younger teens who are coming up who are going to take leadership roles. You can have ambassadors in other schools, right? But so the key here is to set up the protocols, the best practices, and make sure that, you know, as each person, as each leader, senior graduates and moves on, they hand it down to the next person. But there's absolutely no reason why this shouldn't continue. You know, as you pointed out, if the school itself recognizes that this should be part of the permanent curriculum because it's so great and it works so well and the kids really are drawn to it, then it should continue in perpetuity. But I think you want it to keep the integrity of this peer-to-peer model, right?
Yeah, and that it's student-led. And I like that it's students get full control over the events put on, the kind of tutoring that happens. And honestly, that's how we get all of our best ideas for fun activities that have been successful. I have a few examples, but one of them is just because our students have so much autonomy at the different schools. And that's part of why I really like this program, is that they get to make it their own. We get some of our best ideas at different schools, and then we implement them across all of the schools because it's been successful. So one student, her name is Jocelyn, she graduated, but she thought of this idea to do this Mexican bingo game called Loteria. And it was a huge success at her school. I think 400 people came to the event. And so we just decided to do a series of that game across all the schools. And it was amazing. It was so much fun. You know, the kids were learning about a completely new aspect of Mexican culture. And I think a lot of the English learner students were really excited to share that also.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Yeah, listen, you know, I think that the adults would be wise to continue to allow the teens to drive this, right? Because you're the ones that are going to have the great ideas. You're the ones that are going to be enthusiastic about it. You're the one, you know, the younger kids are going to only want to really deal with the teen. Like, that's what makes the program successful, right? You don't want them to sort of take it over and make it their own. And they've lost sort of the essence of how, you know, of how wonderful it is. I really loved what you said too about the power of using different, you know, either cooking or, you know, conversation or, you know, you learn language so much better and so much easier when it's in relation to something fun and something like applicable. I think one of the biggest criticisms of language, you know, instruction in our secondary schools is that it's like you're learning things that you're never actually going to use in practice, or it's like kind of obscure, you know, rules of grammar. Like, let the kids talk to each other about fun things, and then they'll actually learn, you know, learn languages.
Yeah, honestly, you're so right about that. And that's another one of the concerns I have about language classes, is I think it kind of deters a lot of people from wanting to continue to study language. And a lot of people ask, oh, why don't you have, we don't necessarily have a set curriculum that we do across all of schools, but that's because the curriculum is conversation.
Right, right.
It's all conversation based. It's because that's what the real world is like,
of
and that's
course.
How you actually learn a language.
And that's the
and
best
that's
way to
missing.
Learn a language, right?
That's, none of these classes offer that. So it's an amazing way for them to not only practice conversation, but also get community service hours and make friends.
Right. No, it's a fantastic concept. It's a really wonderful model. And back to the beginning, when you talked about how this is handled in the schools now, where the kids are sort of pulled out and isolated, if you will, and not encouraged to talk to each other. Like, that seems counterintuitive to me. Your program is allowing this conversation to happen organically. And of course, their language skills are going to improve exponentially. Well, Romy, is there a place where people can learn more about Mi Sendero, where they can follow along on social media, all of that good stuff? Tell us where we can find out more.
Yeah, so we have a website, and it's called misendero.org. And then we post on there about events, and just if you want just straight up information about how to get started at your high school, or if you want to learn about the organization itself, there's good info on there. And then we also have an Instagram, and it's Mi Sendero Youth, and you can follow along. We post more regular kind of updates of fun events at schools, just things going on. So I definitely recommend checking out both. And you can always reach out to the email we have also on our website, answer any questions, and if you want to get started or if you're just curious about anything.
Amazing. Well, I will have all of that in the show notes. Romy, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to meet you and to learn more about this. What a wonderful project. Good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter.
And if you know a tween or a teen who's doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.